Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Fitness on the Front Lines, where we're actually just two peas in a pod.
Did you say that already?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
No, I don't think so. If I have, oh well. All right. Today with me, I have my, as always, illustrious co-host, Eric.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Fine.
Fine?
Yeah.
Is that all you're going to give me?
What else you want?
Wow. Nah.
Loser.
All right, and then today we have a returning guest, a Miss Katie Schreider.
Hi.
How are you, Katie?
I am nervous.
The show about honesty.
Yeah.
The show about honesty. All right,
nothing
I'm gonna take
else, I'll be honest.
Go ahead and take these headphones off. All right, so before we get into what we're actually going to talk about, how was y'all's week of training?
It's been good.
Really good. Probably should have taken a rest day. Didn't.
You didn't?
No, I'm kind of feeling it today.
Okay. So is like today your rest day? Are you still working out today? Or you've already worked out today?
What is your schedule?
Okay. So typically I used to like to rest on Thursdays. So
uh-huh. It's a good day.
Monday,
how
Tuesday,
come no more?
Because I'm obsessed with Ollie. Now I try to rest on Wednesdays, but I didn't yesterday. I told Eric I was doing active recovery and I did the class. So, you know, that's how it goes.
I mean, yesterday's workout.
I mean, I just moved.
Yeah.
For
it's a cool workout.
So, I mean, that was my
that's kind of heavy.
It was just a semifinal workout.
I did scale one and I just moseyed through.
That's not bad.
No, it wasn't terrible.
That's not so bad.
Are you doing Ollie today?
Today, yeah, just Ollie.
That's
took
your recovery.
Took a walk earlier.
Oh.
Walks
really
are good.
Strenuous.
Yeah.
Now, Eric, what about you?
That was normal.
Just like normal?
Mm-hmm.
Any particularly bad ones this week?
No.
Now, after the frame of reference that
actually,
I have for Gretel.
yesterday's was surprising.
Oh, yeah?
I did yesterday's on Tuesday, and that kind of actually killed me.
Okay. How did you feel about it? What was it? And that was the 8 sets of rowing and burpees?
No, I did that yesterday. I did the rope climb one on Tuesday.
Okay, yeah. What weight did you do for that one?
A hundo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's...
I touched and go 2 rounds with it, though.
Yeah, that 100-pounder is...
It's a different animal.
It's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a big deal. It's not something I want to kind of mess around with just a whole lot.
Yeah.
But,
and then I tried to snap my shoulders yesterday. That was fun.
That's great. I did something yesterday to upset my knee again.
My right knee hurts too.
Nice. So I actually, we was doing some yokes for strength and power, and he was talking about doing an overhead yoke. And I was like going down there to make it, you know, kind of like how you got in the bottom of a squat. And I think I like went weird and I felt my knee just like go for a second, and I was kind of really nervous about squatting, but then I got like my first set in. I was like, okay, I'm good. But it like it really got to it there for a second, so I got super nervous about it. So I was like, I might not be squatting what I'm supposed to be, but
you need
we'll
to
see.
Get the thickest knee sleeve they make and just put it on that knee forever.
I'm about to just like Why not, Katie?
This is Fitness on the Front Lines.
Yeah.
We're going to strengthen the joint, not have a crutch.
Well.
All gas, no brakes, Katie.
Yeah.
So I'm thought about just like getting a 7mm and then putting my already 5mm over it. Because then that's like what? That's like
12?
12 millimeters.
I think that's how that works.
That's a thick sleeve. Anyways. All right. So
he'll be doing pistols.
It'd just literally just spring you back up. Be like wearing knee wraps.
Yeah, for
you
real.
Ever put on knee wraps before?
Yes.
No.
They hurt.
Yeah, they suck.
They're not fun.
Well, it's... I mean,
I'm, yeah. Okay. It's like, it's literally meant to compress your
basically
your knee.
Flossing.
Yeah, it's basically flossing, but something flossing you can squat with.
Yeah.
And I did, I think, like a few reps with one, and I'm like, this is actually painful. And people that get on, like put them on and then go squat like 800-900 pounds. I'm like, well, what does that feel like on your knees? I'm like, seriously, because, I mean, there's no way that a wrap, even if it's supposed to be able to support you to squat that much, there's no way that that's not going to still destroy your knees. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'd honestly like to talk to somebody that's done it before.
They're not here.
I know. Yeah, no, okay. There's nobody.
I can get you in contact with somebody. He uses them every day.
Who?
That Mitchell guy I told you about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
He's very strong.
Well, all right. Well, today's topic, Katie brought a topic, actually. We are going to be talking about metabolic pathways that apparently I learned about in my L1.
Maybe we need to review the L1 podcast we did and be like, I didn't learn anything. Yeah.
Maybe. Did you hear that one where I was talking about the L1?
Yes. And yeah.
Yeah, pretty much showed a light on them that I didn't learn anything there. I still passed.
It's a good time.
But I'm sure you learned something.
Well, I mean, I learned a little bit. It wasn't a whole lot. But I learned more from shadowing than I did from actually, like, being there at the L1.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, so that's why I still even encourage people. It's like, if you want to be a coach, shadow first.
Yes.
Because they kind of just throw a lot of information at you on the L1. Yeah. So
brainwash your Padawan.
Yeah. Find you a good coach. Be brainwashed. Allow yourself to be brainwashed. But anyways, Katie, would you like to start?
Well, I guess so. So when Eric came and was like, hey, what kind of, you know, y'all got any topics maybe for the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
I threw a list, I think, like probably 10 at him.
Yeah.
whoops. So anyway, that's how I got here. So we were talking about metabolic pathways because I think it's really important for us to know why we do the workouts that we do.
Okay.
Why there are certain durations and intensity. And it's so easy for people to come to the gym and just be like, you know what? That Metcon was only like 8 minutes. I don't think I did anything today.
Right.
So I think I'm going to go for a 10-mile run. I don't know. I'm just picking something.
Whoa. Eight minutes is not enough. I'm going to jog for 3 hours.
Yes.
Hey, I've seen people do
but
it.
But people do that.
People do that.
Yeah, I've seen
something crazy,
too.
But people do that. So I think it's really important to kind of focus on, like, hey, there's a method to our madness.
Mm-hmm.
Not just we work out for 8 minutes and say we're really hardcore and go home.
Right.
So that's where we were going with that.
Okay.
So metabolic pathway, to get a little nerdy, that is a linked series of chemical reactions occurring within a cell. So basically it's how our body is going to use what it is given. So Eric touched on this in our nutrition podcast there about how we need carbs.
Mm-hmm.
So we spend a lot of time in our glycolytic pathway here in the gym.
Yeah.
And the main fuel source for that is carbs. So if you have trained your body to do keto and your main fuel source is fat, you're not going to do great.
Good luck.
Yeah, you're just not. And then you may, you know, manage to hang in there, like say it's a 12-minute workout, but there at the end when you go to sprint, you're not going to have that fuel that you need to finish
extra.
Off that wad. So I thought it would be important to touch that, hey, you need your carbs, and there's a reason that we do what we
so
do.
So you threw out glycolytic pathway.
Yes.
Okay, what exactly...
So let's go through, there's three that we focus on in the gym.
Okay.
Obviously there's going to be several metabolic processes in your body, but so right. While we're at the gym, we really like to focus on that first one. So if you're getting your one rep max or just a really quick sprint, we're in mm-hmm. that phosphagen phase there. Pathway.
Is that for like workouts that are, you said like one rep max and then a really quick sprint, that's for something like Fran?
Yes. Well,
be
no.
Something
no.
like
Fran's glycolytic.
The 12 calorie, 12 burpee.
Okay.
Kind of thing.
I
like
got you.
Bursty.
Okay.
Like your 100-yard dash. Yeah. I mean, nothing really over 15 seconds.
Okay.
So maybe a 2-rep max. Maybe a 3-rep max. That's
right.
Going to be phosphagen. So basically, if you were going through life and you saw a kid about to get run over by a car and you just went into action and yanked them out of the road,
yeah.
Phosphagen.
Or you're Superman.
Yeah. Or you're Superman. Or if like a vase was falling off a table and you just reacted to catch it, that's going to be that phosphagen.
That's Spider-Man.
That's Spider-Man. We are superheroes.
We're talking about superheroes.
Aren't we building superheroes in here?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, basically. So that phosphagen pathway, obviously, we need throughout our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get older, it does slow down. So we still want to train it. So our one rep max, 100-yard dash, all of those.
Okay.
We cannot, like, increase how much energy we have stored.
Okay.
For that phosphagen pathway. However, we can increase what output we can perform with the energy that is stored.
Okay.
So, just something to think about. That's why your one rep max can go up, but you cannot sustain it for long.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
So, we spend a lot of time in our glycolytic pathway here. So, basically high intensity workout. So high power, slightly longer duration. We're in that
slightly
like
longer as in
30-second, 2-minute window.
Okay.
So when we are doing Fran, we should be in that glycolytic pathway.
Why do you say should?
Should be, because a lot of us don't have Fran times that are really in that target Fran time zone. So that 30,
that's me.
It's also me.
Yeah, you're talking to me.
Grace is another one that should be in that glycolytic pathway. My Grace is almost there. So
it's probably there now.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Eric. So
we'll test it later.
Oh, yay. Tabata, that's going to be glycolytic because you've got that 20 seconds of work and then mm-hmm. you've got rest. So anytime that we're doing any workouts in here where we've got like, hey, go hard for a little bit and then yeah. rest for a short period of time where we are not hitting full recovery,
mm-hmm.
we're targeting that glycolytic pathway.
Okay.
So.
And then what is that third one?
The third one is oxidative. And oxidative is the one where everybody who works out thinks, oh, I've got to get on that treadmill for an hour or 30 minutes, or I've got to go for a run for 3 minutes. And that's how you lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
You're just hanging out in that oxidative pathway. So Murph, obviously, is oxidative.
Okay.
Of course, when you start any of the oxidative workouts, you start phosphagen and then move to glycolytic and then move to oxidative.
So it's like a domino effect. Like you start out with one, move to the other, and then eventually rest in the last one if you're going for that long.
Exactly. Okay. So you have, like I already said, a certain amount of energy stored within your muscles at any given time so that when you need it, you can use it, but
right.
you don't have very much. So when you start a workout, you're in that phosphagenic pathway and you use up what you've got. Your body moves on over to glycolytic and starts grabbing those carbs for that ATP to fuel your cells.
Yeah.
And then once that system says, whew, I'm tired, we're going to move over to oxidative. So really anything we do day to day, like breathe
mm-hmm.
or walk or anything, is also going to be that oxidative pathway because
okay.
we are just in general oxidative. So, because we need oxygen. That's the only metabolic pathway that requires oxygen that
okay.
we're talking about today.
Okay.
So
you don't need to breathe for Fran. That's what I heard.
Yeah, sure.
Outrun the pain.
Yeah, outrun the pain. That's what we tell people, outrun the pain. So
well, that's an anaerobic thing. So,
yeah.
Which is...
That's anyway. A different topic right there.
Yeah.
But you threw out that your body takes those carbs and fuels... and then you also threw that, like, keto, you're going to have a bad time.
Correct. Now.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
If you are keto and you are constantly doing oxidative or workouts that target that oxidative pathway, you'll probably be all right because its main fuel is glucose and fat.
Okay.
Obviously,
so for, like, the longer workouts, it's going to be... like kind of okay. You're
going to be burning fat as your fuel source. Obviously you're going to have some carbs because your glucose has to come from somewhere, but
right.
that's again another topic. So, but if you are keto and you have trained your body to just really be efficient at burning fat for its fuel source, when we're in these like quick workouts, these 10-minute workouts or any of these workouts where we're like the burpee row one, the
mm-hmm.
2 minutes, every 2 minutes, you might struggle because you don't have that carb source to pull that energy from. And
right.
that's what your body was designed to do. So
now whenever you say carbs, are you saying like Snickers or like
absolutely
rice?
Snickers. You know, I mean, really,
it's not the worst.
It depends on.
It's not the worst.
It depends on how your body. So that's going to be.
You can't tell people that, Eric. They're going to come in with like pound bags of Snickers.
So
well, if you're eating like one little Snickers,
yeah,
that's
I mean, you can
like,
have like
a
little bit,
carbs.
Right?
So. The main thing, though, is that gets into another topic of how fast your carbs get used based on what type of carb they are. So if they're like paired with fats and protein, or if it's just straight sugar, and how fast your body metabolizes that. But
right.
Anyway, do we want to go into that?
I mean, yeah, go for it.
No, we don't. We don't want to go into that. We're talking about why we train the way we do.
Okay.
Not usually the one to stay focused here.
Right. So if you were the one, sorry, I'm sitting here derailing the podcast. I'm going to talk about Snickers. So you were saying like these, like people, they're like, 8 minutes. And then we go like, nah, that wasn't enough. And then they go and run 10 miles, you know, as an example. Why don't you need to do that?
Well, in short, so I really like to, if I find some type of scientific information online, mm-hmm. I like to back it up with peer-reviewed medical journal articles, right?
Say that one more time.
Peer-reviewed medical journals.
Okay,
so
I didn't
PubMed.
Catch that first word.
Anyway, so I did read an article today because I was like, oh, I'm sure they're going to ask, like, why do you not want to do that? Well, one, obviously your body needs recovery. But two, they did do some studies where people who do, like, chronic oxidative, like run all the time, endurance athletes and stuff.
Kind of like people do like Ironman training.
Yeah, they are at a higher risk for atrial fibrillation and several other things.
So then I got a question. Are people people that do these like ultra marathons, are they like at super high risk for?
No, not necessarily. So it's more of a like, hey, you're using that muscle a lot and it needs recovery.
Yeah.
They did find some kind of like abnormalities as far as ventricle sizes, but no, I'm not telling anybody not to go out there and run marathons or ultra marathon. Just don't come in here and do some really high intensity workout and be like, oh, that wasn't enough. Let me go run some more. Because when we're here and we do these glycolytic pathway workouts, everybody was like, all right, we need to run for an hour. We need to do like, this is the best way to focus on our cardio health. However, our recovery, our body goes into that oxidative pathway mm-hmm. to recover from our workouts that hang out in that glycolytic pathway. So really your body ramps up for recovery. So you
in
are
the oxidative?
In the oxidative pathway.
That's
so
interesting.
You're hanging out there for potentially hours after you leave the gym.
Oh, okay. And so, like, if you go and run after that, you're just screwing all that up.
Basically, you're just
running as
postpone. Yeah, we're just right. running as postponing that for sure. So, you will postpone your recovery mm-hmm. As well as prolong how long recovery takes. So, it's not necessarily the worst if you trained yourself up into that, but. Yeah. Could really
your average gym goer is not
should
that,
not do that especially because when we have these 8 minute AMRAPs we turn around and we have strength and mm-hmm. that's again more time in that glycolytic pathway
right.
or if we're maxing out we might be in that phosphagen for a few times as long
right.
as we've got that like 5 minute recovery phase there.
So if you so that like the little bit of 5 minutes in between the workout, that's crucial for that little bit of recovery so we could access that again.
Yes. Yeah, so typically our phosphagenic pathway replenishes the energy available in our muscles mm-hmm. in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
So of course, if you are hanging out in that glycolytic pathway right afterwards, it's going to take a little longer.
Right.
But,
and you're going to feel like crud for longer.
Yeah. Your reaction time might not be quite as fast.
So that's interesting. So if you ever wonder why we actually tell you to go ahead and clean up your stuff before we get your barbells out, it's to force you to do that.
Yes.
Without you even knowing.
Yeah, that's it.
I usually wait till people stop being red.
Puffing and puffing. Yeah. Laying on the floor.
I think yesterday I was like... No, it wasn't yesterday. It was Tuesday. I was like, all right, whenever you can breathe right and you can peel yourself off the floor, go ahead and go get your barbells.
Yes.
But yeah. So as far as, like, you kind of mentioned recovering from, you know, longer workouts and stuff. Oh, there's a second page of notes.
I have three, I think.
Oh, whoa. I'm impressed. Whoa. All right, well, keep going, Katie.
No. You go ahead. What was your question? I might have covered some of this already.
I had already forgotten my question whenever I saw that you had extra notes. I'm being completely honest with you.
Oh, great. Okay.
Katie is ready.
Sort of. I don't know. I was pretty nervous. I think I'm sweating to death now just because I'm nervous.
Now aren't you glad we have the fan?
Yes, I am. Plus, my black coffee doesn't help here. One thing, though, like, you'll be on Instagram and you'll see the, you know, there's so many fitness, like, I don't know if they're memes, if they're not funny. What are those? Just images?
I mean, they're still memes.
Okay. So yeah,
meme doesn't necessarily mean funny. It's just like an all-encompassing.
Okay. Well, term. I keep seeing the same one pop up on mine, and it's like, I guess they're like stick figures. I don't know, but not really, because they have muscles. So the one on the left, and it's like six, works out three times a week or 6 hours in the gym a week, but it's 3 days. So it's like 3 2-hour workouts. Yeah. Versus this guy who works out 1 hour in the gym a day for 6 days. And obviously the guy who works out for 1 hour is like super lean, super jacked, looks like what people want to. And the guy on the left who's there for 2 hours, three times a week, doesn't look like he works out, basically.
Right.
Came to mind today when y'all asked me to talk on this. So that glycolytic pathway, again, we're going to go back to it. If you're in the gym for 2 hours, you're going way past that. So we're obviously going to be in that oxidative state, unless you were just like, you know, fiddle farting around, throwing out so hard and taking time between sets, I guess. But anyway, then you're not in the glycolytic one either. You're in that phosphagen. But anyway, back to what I was saying, if you're hanging out in that glycolytic pathway, that is what facilitates lean muscular builds.
Okay.
So I feel like that's what everybody is in the gym looking for. Right. Obviously, it's overall health, but that lean muscular body. You want to look good naked.
Everybody's come on.
That's where you're trying to hang out.
Health is on the side.
So when I thought of that picture, forget health. I just want to look good. So when I saw that picture, I was like, yeah, definitely going to have to bring that up, because people don't realize that. They're like, oh, I work out really hard for 2 hours and I'm not seeing any differences. I go three times a week, but you don't have to do that. So much. Also, if you ever look at like sprinters, like a sprinter's body versus a long distance runner, those are two totally different looking bodies.
Yes, it is.
Obviously, the elite ones, I'm sure, has to do with their genetics and how many of which muscle fibers they have. But that glycolytic pathway, again, really builds up those fast twitch muscle fibers, which are easier to grow and the ones that look good. So just another thing to think about.
The fast twitch muscle fibers are the show muscles, right?
The Olympics are coming up. Look at the 100-meter dashers and the 800 meters. You'll notice a huge difference.
Yeah.
Huge.
Their legs will be like tree trunks.
Yes.
And the others will be like tree branches.
Yeah, I mean, they look jacked.
Yeah, they still look
jacked. Even their upper body. They are jacked all around. But they are they also do weight training and stuff. Yeah. These are elite guys. But they're just training their body different.
Right. Okay. So what do you have next on the
paper? I mean, I think that's about where I've gotten is more of a just, hey, quit beating yourself up and saying, oh, I went to the gym today, but that Metcon was 10 minutes and then we lifted a little and I didn't do anything. When in reality,
you did.
You did a whole Metcon where you spent a lot of time in a glycolytic pathway facilitating that lean muscular build you want. You took a rest, putting your stuff up, getting your barbells out. Then you did strength, where you were either glycolytic or phosphagenic, depends on how we're lifting. And then when you leave here, you are spending a lot of time in oxidative for that recovery. So you were making changes to your body all day long, right, just from that hour you spent here.
So then here's a question, because I've seen that too. I'm sure all three of us have seen it in here a blue billion times. That people are like, I just didn't feel like I got enough in today, so I felt like doing, you know, a little something extra, you know. What if you have that 8-minute workout and you think that you might feel at the end of that like you haven't done a whole lot? Is there something that you could do to make yourself feel like you've worked out for like 20, 30 minutes for just the 8 minutes?
I mean, you could start to focus on mobility.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a great place to go, because nobody, if somebody's going to make time for something, it's not usually mobility until you have to.
Mm-hmm. Mobility fourth.
Yes, basically.
That's the tip.
I mean, and while that seems like that's not going to make you feel like you worked out mm-hmm. much, my heart rate can get pretty high when I'm uncomfortable, and mobility yeah. can make me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It make you sore sometimes too.
It can.
I am pretty sure I'm sore right now from mobility. Also though, so it sounds like I'm preaching against, you know, being like, ooh, I didn't do enough, I'm going to go for a run.
Yeah.
However, going for a walk or a long row that's not high intensity, and yeah. by long, I don't mean like a 5-hour row or not even an hour, just rowing a little bit at a low intensity, that can help facilitate recovery.
Right.
If
so
done
is that something
right.
where from like 10 minutes to just
yeah,
15,
like a
20?
Like a cool down, basically. Right. If you're thinking, I'm going to do a cool down row because I feel like I got a little extra in the tank and I just want to use that up, but not hinder my recovery.
Right.
So for me, it would never be running, because running murders me. It shoots my heart rate up so high, right. even if I am running at the slowest pace known to man, and it's only 200 meters. So for me, running's not going to be my recovery.
Right.
Maybe walking the dog will be, but.
Yeah, because that, like, since you said it, that running is considered high intensity, that, like, look for a lower intense way
yes.
for recovery.
Right.
And you, like you said, again, just to reiterate, that's something you can do like on the bike. You could do it on, you can take a walk. You can do it on the rower. Do some mobility.
Yes.
That could still be considered that. I mean, everybody has 10 minutes to do mobility.
Yes. Whether we make it or not,
you have
another
it.
Story.
It's there. It's there. So, I mean, nobody has any excuse. I mean, as an example, yesterday, Eric, you was doing snatch balances. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you went for a PR.
Tied it.
You tied your PR.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for you tying your PR, Addison said it, but I also noticed it too. If it wasn't for your mobility, you would have failed it.
Yes.
And just to go on a little side tangent, just to kind of like, you know, reiterate that you said about mobility. You know, most people don't care about mobility. I'm going to say that again. If he did not have that mobility, he would have failed 275 for a snatch balance. So you're like, well, how does mobility matter like that? Well, mobility matters because if you can't get in the right positions to hold the weight that you're supposed to, you're just going to drop it every time. Every single time. That's just how it works.
Correct.
9 times out of 10, if you fail a lift, it's because of the feet. Talking about Olympic weightlifting, and that directly correlates to your mobility.
Yep.
So, mm-hmm. care about it.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Also injury prevention.
Also injury prevention.
Care about it.
Care about it.
And it's relaxing. Go wide and ROM wide.
It
great.
Really is. Mm, like,
sometimes.
I started doing ROM wide.
The Thursday. Does ROM wide still do the Thursdays that are like 40 minutes?
Yes. Because
those aren't relaxing.
Yeah, no.
That's a workout.
Like I see that and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do like the 14-minute one. Like I did the short one. But I do it like 3 times a week.
Yeah.
But anyways, Katie, is there any kind of closing remarks that you would like to make?
What about these games athletes you see on Instagram that do 2 sessions?
If you only knew how much they ate.
This is
true. So, one, they've trained up to be able to train that much.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't just say, whoo, I'm doing this.
Yep.
Also, they eat so many carbs. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they get all the protein, but you've got to eat to fuel your body. And for some reason, we have gone off on this horrible logic that consistently being in a calorie deficit and doing more in the gym is the way to get what we want. And it's really the opposite of what we want.
No, your body's
going
to hold on to whatever it needs to keep going.
Yep.
Yeah. So also programming. Those guys, those games athletes doing two workouts a day or four or whatever they're doing, somebody's programming that for them specifically. Somebody who has a method to their madness.
Right.
As well as, with all the technology today, like, their recovery is being monitored. So if they're like, hey, your recovery is not where I want it to be, you're not doing this workout today. We're going to get recovery going, mobility. I'm feeding you 5,000 more carbs and then we'll pick it up tomorrow. So there's a method to their madness, just as there is for us here at the gym. There's just a reason for it.
Yeah. There's a whole team of people behind the person and
exactly.
in the Instagram
it's
post.
Not just them coming up with stuff to do.
No, you're not gonna come in here two times a day and then make the games next year. It's
no,
it's just not how it works. There's a science behind it.
I wish, but no.
So, Eric, would you like to make any closing remarks?
No. I've been getting questions on Ollie. When's a good time to start?
Mm-hmm.
And any time, but the best time would be next Monday because we're starting a new cycle.
Yes.
So if you want in, I suggest next week.
Or at least I would like to know if it's a squat cycle.
No.
Woo.
Thank God that squat cycle was.
Yeah, that was terrible.
No, I don't really know what this one's going to entail. But
okay.
Well, all right, guys. This has been a great episode. Katie, thank you for coming back on.
Thanks for having me.
Eric, thank you for being you.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, guys, if you want to check us out on our social medias, you can find us at Rocket City CrossFit on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can listen to us on our other podcast, The Secret Dungeon, and then you can tune in next week, next Thursday, because we actually upload these on Thursdays. Tune in next week whenever we have King George on.
That'll be good.
So, it'll be interesting. Now, last week I said Dr. Phil, he canceled on me.
Oh,
so
right.
I've had so many people come up to me and say, so now that we have a dead guy coming on. Anyways, we will see you guys.
Hey, that ties right in with your Dungeons and Dragons podcast, right?
No, it's a secret dungeon.
Oh, right. My bad.
Thanks, Katie. All right, we'll see you guys next
closing
week.
Closing remark.